Galatians 5, verse 24, in the Amplified tells us, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit." Satan's goal is to lure us out of the covering of Holy Spirit and into the flesh. One area where the enemy attacks both men and women, but women I would think particularly are vulnerable to the attack in this area. And it's an area that's rarely discussed in Christian circles. It's a four-letter word that doesn't get much direct attention, and it isn't dealt with very often, although its effects have destroyed friendships, homes, ministries, and churches. The operation of the spirit that is attacking through this particular area is an attack upon God's approval of each of us, an attack on our uniqueness as individuals, creations of God, and precious in His sight. And that four-letter word is envy. Envy offends, grieves Holy Spirit. And the demon spirit operating is a spirit of jealousy. Webster defines envy as a feeling of antagonism, hostility, opposition towards someone because of some good which the other is enjoying. Envy is coveting. And that means to long to possess for oneself the good which someone else is enjoying. It's an innocent desire to share another's good. Envy is a feeling of hostility towards your coworker, your fellow student, because of her job, her ministry, her spouse, or her approval, or the flow of the anointing in that person's life. Envy, longing to possess what your brother or sister has, to value and desire what God has given someone else over what God has given to you. In the process of desiring what our brother or sister has, we reject and disapprove what God has given us. James chapter 3, verse 14 tells us that envy, bitter hostility, antagonistic jealousy, is earthly, unspiritual, it is fleshly, and it is demonic. Envy is selfish ambition, and it leads to evil work and practices, including witchcraft. Listen to James chapter 3, verses 14 and 16 out of the Amplified. "But if you have bitter jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not pride yourselves on it, and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth. This superficial wisdom is not such as come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, animal, even devilish. For whatever there is jealousy, for wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices." Envy. Let's consider some of the evil practices. And those are identified for us in Galatians 5, chapter 19 through 21. Now, the practices of the flesh are clear, obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, party spirit, factions, sect with particular opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. The cause of strife, James tells us, of discord and feuds, conflicts, quarrels, and fighting in our churches, in our choirs, in our ministries, in our homes, is envy, competitive jealousy. This kind of environment grieves Holy Spirit and hinders the flow of the anointing. Genesis chapter 29 shows us the effects of envy and jealousy on two women. And the man they both loved, and their children. You know the story. It's the story of Jacob, Rachel, and Leah. In Genesis chapter 29, Jacob is looking for Laban. He was told to go there by his mother and father. And by divine appointment, he meets Rachel. And he is enamored by her, falls in love with her the moment he sees her, and agrees to work for Laban, her father, and requests her as payment for his 7 years of labor. Each daughter was given a mark of distinction by God. The Living Bible tells us that Leah had lovely eyes, that she was tender-eyed. And I think that also suggests a compassionate heart. Rachel was shapely and in every way a beauty. That's how the Living Bible describes the two of them. Well, you know the story. Jacob works for 7 years, and he is, he thinks, married to Rachel. But discovers the morning after the wedding, after their honeymoon, that Leah was the woman. Can you imagine Leah's feelings of rejection and disapproval as Jacob was amazed and astounded to find her in his bed rather than Rachel the following morning? Here, Leah, used by her father, belittled and humiliated, embarrassed and ashamed. I used to feel very sorry for Leah. Our Heavenly Father would never treat us as Laban treated Leah, using her. Our Father would never give any of us as a gift to one who would humiliate or shame us. Leah, I always felt, was second choice. Her body touched intimately without love, her love unreciprocated, unreturned, until one day, and I believe it was by revelation of the Holy Spirit, that Leah was an unindicted co-conspirator. Perhaps it's just because I'm a lawyer that I saw that. As I look closely at the personality and strength of these two women, I had to assign to Leah some of the responsibility for her predicament. Being married to a man that didn't love her, being second, always. Leah had physical strength that her sister did not enjoy. But I asked myself, who reminded Laban of the rule regarding the order of marriage? You recall that Laban explained to Jacob the morning after that in that country, the custom was that the elder daughter had to be married first. Well, who reminded Laban of the rule regarding the order of marriage? Who was silent during the wedding celebration? Who spent the night in the bridal chamber without uttering a word? If she was so familiar, if she and her sister were identical in size, they could have easily have come together, traded places, and teamed up against Laban, the father. Did she believe that if she just slept with Jacob, he would love her, that he would choose her and prefer her over Rachel? Well, we'll have to give that some thought the next time we come together by the brook. Thank you for joining me. Our time is gone for today. Bye-bye. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Let us not become vainglorious and self-conceited, competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating to one another, envying and being jealous of one another. Galatians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26 from the Amplified Version. Last time I shared with you that I believed Leah had some responsibility for her predicament. You know the story recorded in Genesis chapter 29. How Jacob worked 7 years for the right to marry Rachel, only to discover the morning after their honeymoon that he had been wedded to Leah. Oh, and how embarrassed and humiliated she must have been when Jacob discovered her in his bed. But did she have some responsibility? Was she an unindicted co-conspirator? Was it Leah who reminded Laban of the rule regarding the order of marriage in that country? She was silent during the wedding ceremony. She spent the night in the bridal chamber, making love with Jacob without uttering a word. She and her sister were very independent. We see this as the story unfolds, and ultimately Jacob takes his family back to his homeland. Did she believe that if she just slept with Jacob, he would love her, that he would choose her, prefer her? Her subsequent behavior suggests that she believed she could earn his love by her performance. She desired Jacob. Did she believe that by competing with her sister, that she could win him? If you read the full story in Genesis 29, you will notice her attempt to attain love by performance. Her first child, she calls Reuben. See a son. That's what Reuben means. She was saying, Jacob, look at me, value me because I have had a son. In her heart, I believe she thought, now Jacob will love me better. The second son she calls Simeon. Jehovah hears. My husband doesn't listen, but God does. The third son, Levi, attachment. Still hoping that by competing with her sister, by outperforming Rachel, she would win Jacob's love. Leah says, surely now my husband will feel affection for me since I have given him 3 sons. That's how it's recorded in the Living Bible. Now Jacob will value me. Now he will be my companion. Leah was trying to get Jacob's attention. All the while, God was trying to bless Leah, to give her an area of success, to balance the bitterness of her failures. And she didn't recognize it. She was competing, trying to win Jacob. But Jacob's heart was set, and I believe it was set by God. The divine appointment when he met Rachel is so reflective of God's pattern. And we see that in Eve being placed before Adam by God. In how Rebecca was chosen to be the wife of Isaac by the servant sent by Abraham. Until she died, Rachel was Jacob's favorite. But Rachel, although she was beloved, the first in Jacob's heart, wasn't content with being Jacob's beloved. She was envious of the four sons Leah had birthed. She angrily demanded that Jacob give her children. And in intense rivalry, engaged in an intense rivalry with Leah, Rachel demanded that Jacob have intercourse with her maid. And this maid bears two sons. At the same time, Leah stops having babies, so she has Jacob to sleep with her maid, who has two sons. Jacob is being traded back and forth like a horse. This home is permeated with anger and strife and jealousy, rivalry, not love and harmony. Proverbs 27, verse 4 says, "Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy?" Here, Jacob is the center of rivalry of four women. Now, you and I both know that if there was competition between the sisters, it would seep down and infect the maids, the servants, and also the children. Life was not pleasant for Jacob. Proverbs 15, verse 7 tells us, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is, than a stalled ox," and I believe that refers to a source of wealth and increase. "Better where love is than a stalled ox and hatred." Jacob was living with a contentious woman, with Rachel. Proverbs 21:19 says that a contentious, quarrelsome, angry. That's what contentious means. Quarrelsome, angry. Proverbs 27:15 says, "A constant dripping on a rainy day and a cranky woman are much alike. You can no more stop her complaints than you can stop the wind or hold on to anything with oil-slick hands." Life with Rachel was not pleasant. And consistent with the word of God, evil took its toll on Rachel. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 tells us that envy robs the bone of strength and robs one of health. Rachel, the beloved, dies early, giving birth to her second child. She compared herself to her sister, neglecting to see her state as beloved. Jealousy leads to hatred and an early death. This rivalry also had an effect on the children. Jacob in Genesis chapter 29, after the death of both women, when he is in Egypt, and the children are grown, reviews the character of his children born of envy. Reuben, he calls unstable, unruly, disrespectful. He slept with his father's concubine. Simeon and Levi are called cruel, angry, vicious. Judah was unfaithful in his promise to his daughter-in-law. Benjamin is viewed as a ravenous wolf. Issachar, lazy, stubborn, unproductive. And who of all the sons inherited the blessings? Joseph, Rachel's firstborn son. Envy. When you and I compete against one another, it brings envy, strife, anger, rivalry in the church. And it destroys relationships. Competition in ministry destroys churches. Ministerial assignments are destroyed, and the enemy has a stronghold because of envy. Let us overcome envy. Put aside this work of the flesh and walk after the Spirit. We must resist comparing ourselves to others. We are not to think more highly of ourselves than others. Each member of the body is essential for the proper functioning of the body. We are to recognize our uniqueness. God has given each of us a mark of uniqueness. Well, beloved, it's time to go. We'll talk more about overcoming envy. May the blessings of the Lord be mightily upon you and your household this day. May you be blessed in your bank accounts, blessed in your bowl, blessed in your body, blessed in everything you set your hand to. In the name of Jesus. Bye-bye.